Now that I've got my fresh glass of water, we were talking about handgun control, and specifically this last question I asked was about control for rifles and shotguns, and how do you feel about that?
Saying that I believe it should be one centralized computer system that controls it, so regardless of where the individual buys the weapon, there can be an easy check, and that there should be. Nobody should ever need a gun immediately. Mm-hmm. Anytime someone says they need one immediately, that should sound an alarm in somebody's head. That we should be a more caring society. That if you're a salesperson of weapons, then you shouldn't do it just for the profit. But if someone comes to mind that they're buying it for other means, for other reasons, then you shouldn't want to sell that weapon to them. And I think a 2-day wait. It's not an exorbitant amount of time to wait for something. It's a very reasonable amount of time. I mean, when you buy a car, you don't always just pick it up right off the lot the same day you buy it. But that's what they ought to do with weapons, is you should have to have a waiting period of 2 days, a minimum of 2 days, that your name is in the computer system, just do a check on you to see that if you are a criminal or wanted, and why you shouldn't have a gun. And I think we ought to be more... I think society ought to be more in charge of itself and controlling things, and not so greedy just to make a sale. Yeah. But I have no problems with people buying a rifle or a shotgun for the purpose of hunting them for sport, but I do have a problem with people being able to buy one instantly without any checks whatsoever, because that just tells me that we're just being a careless society. I've had a soldier who came to me, joined the Army, wanted to be a military police, but he couldn't. And he was able to change his MOS and get it. And the reason why he couldn't become an MP the first time, and almost wasn't able to do it this time, was because at the age of 13, he had shot and killed his best friend, fooling around with a rifle. And it just shows you that the people who usually get hurt with weapons aren't so much adults, but they're kids playing with weapons, because we don't properly teach our children to handle that weapon and what the cost can be. That young man is probably going to be one of the best MPs we have. For one thing, he understands gun control, he understands weapon safety, and he's taken a very active role in communities in terms of teaching gun control and weapon safety. So I think he'll be very good, and he knows what it can cost. But it's a hard way to learn it, and I think we could put controls and not say we're infringing on people's rights by trying to make our society safer for our kids, instead of the ones who, for the most part, if you look at the statistics, at least for our side, even on bases, those people who are hurt with weapons are usually children.
Assuming we have the central computer base for everybody that can be checked on, and we have the 2-day waiting period, how do you think society should deal with anybody who a gun dealer who decides that if he can't make a sale by waiting 2 days, he just goes ahead and sells it, or say the parents who have their gun and leave it loaded or with the ammunition easy to get to, and their children have an accident with it? What should society do to deal with that?
Well, by law, the parents are just as guilty as the child that pulled that trigger, because they made it accessible to a minor, and so that they're responsible. They go to court too in many states, and they're charged as an accessory or for negligence, homicidal negligence, and that's very serious too. So the laws, our laws at least take care of that, and I think if we teach safety more. We're so big on media, everybody watches television, but how often do you ever see a commercial on gun control or gun safety? Never. Except, I can remember in Vermont occasionally they'd put a hunter safety message on, but it was done so rarely that you never see them anymore. And everybody owns weapons, it's hunting season, you don't see anything. No public announcements, nothing done on that side. And I think if somebody sells a weapon to somebody else without waiting or checking, who's a dealer, you shut them down. you've lost your license to sell weapons, and you're out of business. And I think if you do that to people, they aren't going to risk their livelihood for the sale of one lousy, maybe $200 weapon, $200 to $300 weapon. It's just not worth it.
And you're talking about Vermont again, and I believe they have a higher than average rate of hunting accidents above the other states, I believe, don't they?
I'm not sure. I know they have quite a few because we get quite a few people, city people, who don't even know what a deer look like and shoot our cows to, yes, to other people from Connecticut and the surrounding areas who've never gone hunting, and they come to our state, a large portion, because we're close to those cities. We're close to Boston, we're close to New York City, to Connecticut. And these people come out of the woodwork to go hunting. And yes, they are dangerous. And yes, we do have a lot of hunting accidents. I think you have one hunting accident, you've had one too many.
Yeah.
And they do. They'll shoot at anything that moves. Which is one reason that I stopped deer hunting, for fear of being shot by one of those lunatics.
I want to clarify, I don't have any information to back up what I said. That was an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got, as a point where I got part of that assumption from, reading Travels with Charlie, I think it's by Steinbeck,
mm-hmm.
in which he talks about, I can't remember if it's Vermont, but it's one of the states in that area, in the New England area, right around there. How as he was driving through, he said he feared for his life because he was going through in hunting season. Even when he was driving, he feared for his life because he heard about so many accidents, and he wouldn't let Charlie, his dog, roam anywhere during the season because he talked to so many people who had relatives or friends in accidents, or had stories to tell about them, and it seemed almost as if there was a hysteria. Does it ever get to a, not actually a true hysteria, but is there some sign of that in the area sometimes?
Mm. No, I think everybody, most of us, you know, who are from up there and live there during the hunting seasons, we just got used to wearing bright colors during that season if you're going out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And you never let your dog run during that season because people will shoot your dog thinking it's running deer. So you got to be careful. You never let your dog run loose then. And but I don't think it's a hysteria. I think people are a lot more cautious. I know I always was when I was in the woods, even when I'd go hiking, but driving along the roads, I don't think I've ever read any incident where somebody was shot in their car during hunting season. I know there's a lot of shoot from their car during hunting season when they see something. But that's been about it. Hunting season, I don't care where you live, it's going to be dangerous when you allow enough people to run rampant through your state with weapons. And you just got to be more cautious and make sure those people have gone through a hunter safety class before you issue them a license to hunt, and making sure that they know how to work their weapon before they go out there, and really crack down on people who hunt when they're drunk. That I think is important too.
Okay.
But overall, I don't think there's any hysteria going on during hunting season, unless you get a 8-pointer or bigger. Then there's a hysteria. Where'd you get it? Because they want to go find one themselves.
Well, let's move on to some other political areas. See what have you ever always voted since you were?
Since I was 18.
And all the presidential elections. And what about local elections?
Yes, we do absentee ballot voting so that I make sure that we didn't want to vote for, have to register in each state that where we lived. We wanted to stay with our home state because we knew the politics there. And Vermont's usually votes Republican, but it's very liberal. In fact, we were one of the first places to elect a socialist mayor for the city of Burlington, who's now he's in the House of Representatives. This is the second year in. So we have a socialist there on behalf of Vermont. So we like to vote because we keep up with the politics. My parents are very involved. My dad's always involved in the Republican Party. Doesn't mean Bruce and I vote party line, but we usually look at the... I think Vermonters are more apt to look at the individual beyond what party they're associated with. And I think Vermont's been known for that. In fact, during World War II, just before the start of the Second World War, before the United States got into it, Canada had gone to war with England, and the United States declared war on Hitler as an independent republic. So Vermonters are pretty much independent in their own right, and I think we can see through their politics as the way they are. So we always vote there, and I voted for everything that I've registered. I always make sure my absentee ballot's up to date, my address, and make sure that I take the time to vote. In fact, I've been the voting officer several times in my unit in the different places I've been stationed, not only because I wanted to be, because I believe in the importance of voting, that the only way we get society to change its ways or its attitudes or to make things better is through voting. No, does it happen instantly? No. But it'll happen over time by putting the people you believe who will best support those ideas and make them happen.
Do you have any special thoughts on this last election? It's been rather an odd one as far as history goes, with three candidates, Bush, Perot, and Clinton winning without a majority of the votes, a 50% vote, mm-hmm. and Perot actually being heard is odd, since he's the independent candidate.
Usually your third party candidate, you, in having studied politics, will usually bring out the issues that people want heard, but the major candidates are not supporting, and they usually never get any electoral college votes, but they usually get the people support and force the major candidates to take on some of those points that the dark horse is bringing out. And really the only other time I can think of that ever happening was when Teddy Roosevelt ran and lost because there was a dark horse in the race. And so it has happened in our history where you get a three-way, and usually it takes the popular vote away from one of the candidates. But I think it was good. I think this is really what we needed. We're kind of getting stagnant a little bit and not making the changes that we need to make. We want to be more conservative with our money and using less credit, improving our education systems so that we can have our kids be better and more productive. And I think a lot of people this last election voted with their wallet as opposed to what party they wanted. They wanted to change the economy. That's definitely the point that was brought across in this election. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I think we got to do something.
So you think Ross Perot played the third party candidate very well? He did.
Yes. The only mistake I think he did was when he dropped out of the race back in July the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that showed kind of a cowardness on his part, making up excuses for why he dropped out. I think if he had stayed, he may have even shown had stronger support and would have done even more damage to the elections. Mm-hmm. I think he spoke the truth. He spoke what people wanted to hear, that we need people who are more economic-minded, business-minded to run this government, and these are some of the changes we got to make. And one of them is starting at home. He was definitely one that wasn't a big foreign policy pusher. His was, let's push domestics. Let's improve the domestic side before we start advertising on the outside. He was pretty funny. He says, what is a slow waltz? Dance with me, or if you don't like me, you can go dance with someone else. Pretty straightforward.
And they did dance with someone else, it seems. Dance with Bill Clinton.
Yes. I think it was inevitable he was going to win. I mean, throughout the election, everybody saw it. I think everybody was dissatisfied with Bush from the the Iran-Contra affair, to what came out of that, since he did know a lot about the CIA and people feel that he was lying to them, to it's kind of strange. His wins, his recent wins with the Gulf War, you would have thought would have pulled more weight for him in terms of the popular vote, but it didn't. Rather, they looked at the economy and what was going on with that and almost totally avoided his successes in Panama and his successes in the Gulf War. So I got on my mind.
That's the Kennedys.
That's right.